Hello, my name is Daniel Morden and I've been telling traditional stories for a living for some 30 years now. The old tales fascinate me because they help me understand the world and my responses to it. Now, during this crisis, I found myself going back to certain stories and understanding them differently in the light of what's taken place. I could go on about what they mean to me, but instead, I'd rather just share them with you. I don't pretend that hearing a story in this way replaces the experience of hearing it live, but it's all we can do for the time being. I hope you'll find the story helpful. I hope at least you'll find it entertaining. I can do this thanks to a stabilisation award from the Arts Council of Wales National Lottery Fund. My website is www.danielmorden.org, or you can find me on Facebook by searching for Daniel Morden Storyteller. Please, if you enjoy the stories, if you enjoy the podcast, send me a message. This week's story comes with a warning. It is not for the delicate. The story is called The Twins. There was once a king, and every year since he had first taken the throne, he would have his portrait painted and hung on the wall of the hall. One year, when it was unveiled, the king, "What is the meaning of this? The skin is sagging, the neck is scrawny. This was my son's doing. He put you up to this, didn't he? He paid you to make me look decrepit. He's greedy for the crown." The king tried to jump up from his throne, but he stood a little too quickly and had to sit back down again. He said to the artist, "Be off with you, you traitor." The painting was destroyed, and there were no more portraits after that. Every mirror in the palace was removed. The king grew so weak he could barely stand. The feebler he got, the angrier he became. He was always in a war with some neighbouring nation. His son was old enough to succeed. The queen was not there to make the king see sense. She had died in childbirth. One day, the king's oldest adviser bowed low and said, "Your Majesty, the time has come, for the good of your nation, to pass your crown on to your son."
"What? God gave me the crown. Only he can take it from me."
"But you are God's agent on this earth, Your Majesty. If you decide to pass the throne to your son, then you are enacting God's will."
"It is God's will that I must rule until my last breath."
"Your Majesty, I have served you faithfully for many a year. It gives me no pleasure to tell you, you are no longer able to fulfil your duties. If you cannot leave the palace, if you cannot leave your bedchamber, if you cannot walk among your people, how can you understand their needs and their cares?"
"I was a child when my father died and the crown passed to me. I have had a lifetime to learn the ways of my subjects. No one understands them the way I do, least of all you. Throw this insolent traitor in jail."
The prince tried to intervene. He begged his father to release the adviser, but the king would not listen. It was hard for the prince to see his father like this, feeble both in body and mind. At night,
As a respite from the palace, the prince took to wandering the streets of the city in disguise. He loved to hear ordinary people talking and laughing. One evening, he passed an open window and heard three young women. While they drew, they talked. And weren't they talking about him? The first young woman, "I hear the prince is looking for a wife. If he married me, I would give him a son who would be the greatest hero in the land." The second, "If I married him, I would present him with a daughter without equal in the entire world." Then the third, "If I were to be his wife, I would give him a boy and a girl, twins, with golden hair." They laughed at this flight of fancy, but the prince didn't. He could barely contain his excitement. The next day, disguised as a rich merchant, he contrived to meet the third young woman. He liked her more when he looked upon her, and even more when they spoke. He continued to visit her. As soon as he could, he told her the truth. He couldn't bear to deceive her. He swore her to secrecy, but he told her he was the very prince she and her friends had spoken of. He said, "Is it true? If I married you, would you give me golden-haired twins?" "All I know," she said, "is this. As soon as I spoke those words, I felt them to be true." They courted in secret for some months until the prince asked to see his father. "I believe I have found a wife."
"What? Where?"
"In the city." He told his father everything.
"She is a witch. She has bewitched you. Don't you see? She doesn't love you. She loves all of this."
"But, father, we loved one another before she knew I was a prince."
"How do you suppose she will manage here, amongst the intrigue and pressures of the court? If you truly loved her, which I doubt, then you would stay well away from her. To marry her would be to destroy her life."
"Not to marry her would be to destroy my life." The wedding went ahead. The day was not a happy one. The old king saw to that. He made his displeasure known however he could. He scowled, he seethed, he shook with fury. In time, the prince's wife fell pregnant. The king sent for his son.
"Since you are so eager to take my place, the king of the West is encroaching on our borders, so lead the army and drive back our enemy."
"Should we not send an envoy to him?" said the prince. "Try to make peace before we make war."
"Every word you utter demonstrates how unfit you are to rule. Show him weakness and he will invade. Show him strength and he will scuttle back under the rock from whence he came."
"But what of my wife?" said the prince. "She is with child."
"Do you think I am a monster? I will take care of her."
The prince set off for the border. But he sent an envoy ahead first, asking to meet the king of the West to discuss terms for a truce. While he was away, word came to the king. The prince's wife had given birth to twins with golden hair. The king could not bear to look at his golden grandchildren. Their very existence meant he was old. They were part of the plot to steal his throne. One morning, the prince's wife awoke early. Something was wrong. The children, they were so quiet, and her face was wet. She sat up. The sheets around her were black and glistening in the moonlight. She lit a candle. Blood. The bed, her face, they were covered in blood. She ran to the cradle. Empty. The king sent a message to his son. I was right. Your wife was a witch. She gave birth to two children with golden hair and devoured them before anyone could stop her. The king had her thrown into a dungeon, and in secret the golden-haired twins were buried in a corner of the palace garden. Far away, when he read his father's message, the young prince was devastated. He cursed himself for marrying her. She had been corrupted by the madness of the court. That day, instead of negotiating peace with the king of the West, the prince rode into battle, severing heads with every stroke of his sword. Back at home, word spread through the city. The two best friends of the prince's wife went to see her in prison. Her fine clothes were in rags. She was filthy and gaunt, her skin marked with scabs and wounds, but she smiled. She reached between the bars and clasped their hands. Oh, my dear friends, your company brings me strength. What can we bring you? They said. Food, blankets, a knife. What? They said. A knife? If you love me, bring me a knife. Since she wanted nothing else, they bribed the guards and slipped her the knife. When she held it in her hands, her eyes filled with tears. Thank you, she said. Now all will be well. After a while, news reached the prince that his wife had taken her own life. He couldn't bear to return home. For 9 years he fought without thought of his or his soldiers' safety. After those dreadful years, the king of the West surrendered. The prince had to return home. It was a strange victory feast. They ate in silence. Eventually the prince said, Father, as I passed through the palace gardens, I saw two beautiful trees, saplings with golden bark. What do you know of them? The old king. Trees? Trees? You have been away 9 years. I haven't had time to waste on the whims of the gardeners. Every day, from his window, the old king saw his son walk to those trees and lie beneath them. The king was filled with anger and fear. One morning, the prince was summoned to his father's bedside. My son, I am sick, and the doctor told me there is only one cure for my illness, to sleep on a bed of golden wood. The prince, but father, don't you see? What must be. The prince, what must be. So the two trees were hacked down. The bed was built. The first night the king lay down upon it, he heard whispering. No, not whispering, singing. Two pure voices singing. Servants, take the bed and burn it. The bed was burnt. The prince watched the ash rise into the sky. What must be. The ash fell onto the fields of the royal estate where the king's sheep grazed. Months passed. One day the king looked out of the window to see his son petting a pair of lambs, lambs with golden fleeces. The prince took such delight in the company of those creatures. Take me to the kitchen, the king said to the cook. You, I have a mind to eat stew, lamb stew. When he heard, the prince went to his father and begged him to spare the lambs. No, what must be, must be. What must be, must be. The lambs were slaughtered. The king feasted on their flesh. The cook took the fleeces down to the river to wash them. As soon as they touched the water, the fleeces were swept from her grasp. As they floated downstream, the fleeces broke into fragments. A fish saw two little things floating on the surface of the water above him. He thought they were flies, rose up and clum, clum. A fisherman caught the fish. He cooked it and gave it to his wife because he loved her. 9 months later, their dearest wish came true. She gave birth. She gave birth to a girl and boy with golden hair. Though they were poor, the fisherman and his wife tried to give their girl and boy whatever they wished for. The children grew up. The twins loved to sing and play music, so the fisherman and his wife made them instruments. In time, the twins set out to seek their fortune. With their hair down, they looked like a prince and a princess, so they hid it under their caps. They travelled from town to town, earning a crust with their music. One day, the prince was riding through the city and such music he heard. It was sad and beautiful. He searched for the source of the sound and found a brother and sister. The moment he saw them, the prince's heart leapt. He invited them to the palace. The old king's heart sank. What is this? Travelling minstrels, father. I came upon them in the city. Begin. As he listened to the music, a great sense of dread spread over the king. He knew the melody. Where had he heard it before? Ah, as he had lain in the golden bed. Enough! Send them away. Before you leave the palace, said the prince, I must reward you, because as I listened for a few moments, my heart was whole again. Ask. I will grant your wish. Thank you, said the twins. We wish to see our mother. Your mother? Said the prince. Well, why would you ask this of me? Surely your mother is far from here. Your majesty, said the twins. She is in your jail. They went to the dungeon. A cell door was opened and the prince saw his wife. The prince said to his father, you said she had taken her own life. Witchcraft, said the king. Put her to the sword. The twins jumped forward to protect her. As they struggled with the soldiers, their hats slipped from their heads and golden hair fell to their shoulders. Can't you see they are in league with this witch? Traitors, kill them. What must be. No, said the prince. This must not be. And he pushed his father to the ground. He lifted his wife. And then he saw that with the knife her friends had given her, during those long years, she had covered every inch of the walls. On the first wall was an image of a pair of newborn infants, a girl and a boy. On the second, a pair of golden trees. On the third, golden lambs. And on the final wall, an image of the beautiful sister and brother who stood before them. The prince took the throne, and his first decree was to open the dungeon for everyone to visit. And anyone who looked upon the images wondered that someone could transform so much misery and hardship into beauty. And there you have it. I hope you enjoyed this week's story. There are more on my website, www.danielmorden.org, or the website for The Devil's Violin, www.thedevilsviolin.co.uk. My thanks go to Oliver Wilson Dixon for mixing the podcast, supporting me in so many ways in this project, and indeed composing the theme tune. I'm also grateful to the Arts Council of Wales Stabilisation Fund. Finally, thank you for listening. And I look forward to the day when we can share stories in person.